Hello and welcome to Rolling for Loot. I'm your host, Shakti.
And I'm your other host, Timotep. And this is episode two. Today, we're going to be discussing some of our technical and administrative issues, some of the things that we have encountered while setting this all up, and some of the challenges that we weren't anticipating when we decided to do a blog. After that, we're going to move into the good stuff.
We're going to talk about my early thoughts on Diablo 3.
We're going to talk about raiding and raid preparation.
And then finish off with giving you some useful raiding tools on the web and with add-ons.
But first, a little word about our technical and administrative issues. This project was, when we first talked about doing this project, we talked about it being an hour and a half podcast, and we really didn't think that it was going to be taking up as much time and energy as it winds up taking. And so it's a learning curve for us. It's a little bit more of a steep learning curve than we were expecting. So please stick with us. We're going to get this sorted out. We're going to figure out how to get this going every week. Like,
hopefully
clock.
We'll get better.
And, well, we will get better. We will get better. But balancing the content that we want to put in there with the time that it takes to actually record and edit one of these little episodes, balancing that with real life, kids and work and all the other stuff, it's just been more of a challenge than what we were expecting. So we wanted everyone to know that we are aware that we said we were going to do this every week and it hasn't exactly been weekly, but it's coming and we'll get there. So moving right along.
On to the good stuff. Let's talk Diablo 3. So it did launch just about 2 weeks ago now on the it had the standard issues that the other Blizzard games have had. The first day, if you got to play at all, it was interesting.
Yeah, they had login issues, right?
Login issues. There was all kinds of issues. To this day, at last notification, I'm not entirely sure that the auction house is even still working properly. I know that the Real Money Auction House has not launched live yet, which is what I think everybody's waiting for. But they have been doing several updates and server downs since launch. So there's been a few hiccups. But that being said, I think I'm probably one of the few players in the game who has not actually beaten it on normal yet with at least one character.
Well, some of our guildies they're on to like their fourth character, and a couple of them have done it on nightmare mode or
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah. So the reason for this is because it is an addictive game, and already I can see. I mean, I'm only level 17, I think, and I only have one character, so I'm not even. I think I'm on Act 2, so I don't even think I'm halfway through the game yet. But it is an extremely addictive game.
And, of course, Shakti is going to be providing a far more in-depth discussion on Diablo 3 once she finishes the game.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
On a positive note, she did beat the Butcher on her second attempt.
I did. It didn't take me nearly as long as it did on Diablo 1, and certainly far less mice. Anyway, it is a very addictive game. There's something about the whole clicking that just keeps you want to go, keeps you playing. So I'm liking it. It's very entertaining. I'm liking the story. There's a bit more story to it this time around. That being said, I haven't played Diablo 2, so I can't really compare it to that. But
by all accounts, it's very similar to the way D2. It's very similar to the way that D2 went. And more of those technical and administrative issues that I was discussing earlier. Anyways, those that have played D2 have said that it's very similar in the story, but it's different enough to be able to say that it's different.
Yeah. So it is a very good game. I'm liking it so far. I have a list of my likes and my dislikes, so I thought I would go through that. The one thing that I'm really liking is the party loot, the way that they've divided up the party loot. Whatever you see drop is yours. There's no having to wrestle it away from another player, or, you know, if you're playing with someone you don't know or a rude player, there's no fighting over it. If you do happen to pick something up that a party member can use, you just drop it from your bags, and then they pick it up following. So I'm liking how they did that. Another thing that I really like is the mob difficulty in party. It scales with your party. So the more people you have in your group, the harder the bosses are to kill. So that's interesting. That being said, running around on your own, sometimes the trash is also very difficult to kill. So,
but that I think that isn't that one of the big points that they're trying to push with D3 is that it's not really its full scope is best enjoyed in a group environment. That's why they work so hard to integrate the BattleNet and Real Friends, Real ID.
They really did an awful lot for groups in this game, yes, and I am liking that. So it was nice to see that the mob difficulty get a little bit scaling with the party. So okay. That was interesting. I'm really liking the shared bank between toons. I can find items for future alts and store them in my bank, and they can access it at any time. You can also access it in the game menus so that you can go into the auction house and drop your things in there. So that's quite handy.
So it's a, yeah, I like that plan. I wish they would bring that to their other games.
World of Warcraft, please. A shared bank would be lovely.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to hold my breath. We've been asking for something like that since before Burning Crusade, so.
Account-wide or server-wide, I don't care. Something shared would be lovely.
Even just server-wide would be,
yeah,
would be marvelous.
Yeah, that's huge. But anyway, so that this, in D3 is wonderful.
Yes.
So my dislikes, the way that you could join a party, you could pretty much join anybody on your friends list. You could join their party at any time. There's no requesting a party invite. If you're a nice person, you could send them a whisper and say, hey, can I join your party? But pretty much anybody, you could quick join any person at any time. In addition, their friends can join at any time, and their friends can join at any time. So you may actually end up with a 5-person party of people that you only know one person of, which for a lot of people is not a big deal. For this slow person who is still behind on the game and wants to check every single corner, open up every single coffin, break every single barrel, it can be a little bit annoying.
And read every single word of
every
text.
Every piece of text, every corner of the dungeon has to be explored. That's the way I am. I'm that way with every dungeon I go into. Well, every dungeon, but that's how I game. I want to check for all the loot. I pick everything up. It can be a little cumbersome when you're partied up with people that you don't know. So
it's one of those things where when they're bashing on just to get to that final boss and you've wanted to open a portal to go back to town so you can vendor and store and do the minutia of gaming and then come back and pick up where you left off and they've already bashed on up ahead, it can be problematic.
It can be. So, that was one thing that I missed in my likes was the town portal thing. That is super handy, where you can port to town at any time, click on the portal when you're done, and you're back into the dungeon wherever you were or wherever you happen to port from, if it's not a dungeon.
Yay, mages.
Yeah.
World of Warcraft, yay, mage.
Yes, but the mages can't actually go back to where you just came from, so it's at least an open portal. So it's lovely.
Yes, it's a great feature, and There have been older games back in the day, Might and Magic, games like that where they had a similar feature where you could click a portal and go back to town and empty your bags and repair and train and then click the portal again and resume where you had left off. It would be nice to see something like that return to the mainstream of gaming.
That is also super handy. For my second dislike, which is the bag size. So we only get, I don't know, what is it, like 30 slots or something? Very few
sword,
slots.
A sword
takes up two slots.
Two or three slots. That's crazy.
It's extremely irritating, especially for this player who breaks every barrel, who opens every coffin, who picks up every piece of loot. It's extremely irritating where I go down one hallway and, oh, my bags are full. I got to run back to town, get everything sold off, and then back to the party. I realize that I'm probably in the minority picking everything up, and the more I play, I won't need to pick everything up, but that's the kind of player I am. I like to experience it all. So at least some form of expanding the bags would be nice as the game goes on, and I haven't seen that yet, nor have I heard of anything like that yet. So the bank, however, you can expand your slots in the bank, but that doesn't help me when I'm in the middle of a dungeon with a group who's going too fast.
As many of them are.
Exactly. The other thing that I dislike of this game is the save points. Now, this could be just based on the issues that they've been having over the last couple of weeks because it's still a new game, but it seems like the save points are very far between. I have had to log in a couple of times and redo a few quests that I thought I had finished. I was sure I had finished, and the game said, hey, nay, you haven't finished them. And yet, I still have all these things in my bags that I needed for it or whatever. Standing in the correct spot and all that fun stuff. So it would be nice if they give us a whole map to uncover and you've got two or three little areas to explore and basements to go into and whatnot. If there would be more save points in between those, that would be fantastic. Instead of one at the entrance to that zone and one at the exit to that zone. So, as far as it goes, I'm loving the game. It's, like I said, very addictive. One of the reasons why I have minimized my gameplay on this is because it's so addictive and I really get tunnel vision on the game and nothing else is happening in the world outside of what's on my screen right there. So until there is actually a break in the game, I don't realize that there are children to feed and the phone is ringing and the house is burning down or anything like that. So I have to really limit my gameplay and only do it when I actually have absolutely no distractions and I can go ahead and lose myself in Sanctuary. So I highly recommend it so far.
Excellent. I have very little to add to any of those statements one way or the other because outside of my very short time in the beta, I have not actually played the live game yet. Gasp. I know that there are people out there who are shaking their heads wondering, what the heck? How can you not play this game? Well, quite simply, I played the heck out of it when it was Diablo 1, and what I have seen has not led me to believe that it is significantly different. It is significantly improved than it was. The video quality is much better. The frame rates are much higher. The worlds are much larger. It's much more interactive. The multiplayer version, the partying up and all that seems to be much better. So in all aspects of the game, it is improved and it is a better game. It's just not the kind of game that I typically enjoy.
Yeah.
So I tend to want a lot more minutia. I like having lots to do, having to take care of things. And I do like the concepts of the game, and I like the idea of having checkpoints, and I agree if you're going to use checkpoints, they should be a lot more. If you're not going to give the players the option to set a checkpoint for themselves, then you need to set more checkpoints more frequently, or at least have them make a little bit more sense than what they seem to right now.
Yeah.
So
the other thing that it's making me want to do is actually play Dungeon Siege, so maybe I'll
so that's a good thing, though.
Exactly.
It's inspiring you to play other games.
Other games,
well.
Exactly. Yeah, with similar games, so anyway.
And that's, you know, that's good, though. So moving right along, we're going to talk a little bit about rating and raid preparation, getting ready for raiding. And this is something that comes out of our actual live raiding guild. And I know Shakti has something she wants to say.
I'm excited. Our guild actually downed Deathwing for the first time this week. So just wanted on 10-man normal. I realize that we're behind the curve on getting him down, but We've only actually started raiding with this guild again. What is it, 2 months now?
I think, yeah.
If that.
We can count the number of times we've actually sallied forth into Dragon Soul, probably on two hands. I think we've made.
Yeah.
We went 4 of 8 our first night and then got 5 of 8, got the additional fifth boss on the second time. And every time we go back, we get that little bit further. And it makes me sit up a little bit straighter in my chair. I'm very happy to be a part of a team and to pull this kind of thing off with such a short notice coming from, because a lot of us are actually raiders with other guilds as well. So, in fact, last night's raid, one of our problems was we didn't effectively communicate the strategy that we were going to follow, and some of the guys followed one strategy from a previous type of fight, from a previous group, and we were following a different group, and so it didn't work out so well for us, as I recall, falling off the back of Deathwing. But it was all fun, and it was one of those moments where you realize what it takes to be a good raider, and so Shakti and I thought that this would be a great opportunity for us to bring up what it takes to be a great raider, both in terms of the preparation prior to becoming a raider and also the preparation in the 15 or 20 minutes before you pull the first trash.
One of the things that our group does, and it's one of the reasons why I love raiding with these guys, never mind that they're wonderful people and great friends and all that fun stuff, but it was shown last night exactly what kind of team we are. When a mistake happens, we have all raided together long enough over the last, I don't know, 5-7 years, that we just keep going. One person drops, we keep going. We make a mistake, we keep going. There's no raid lead over vent calling it, saying, nope, this didn't go right, let's wipe it and try again. No. We're just going to keep on going and see how far we can get. And that's actually what happened with Spine. It didn't go the way that we wanted it to go, and we continued on and got it down. So it was awesome, and I love it.
Contrary to a lot of guilds, a lot of other guilds, we are very reluctant to say, all right, let's call it. Let's wipe it up, guys. We're down to one healer standing there DPSing the boss. No, you almost got him. Just pull that last little...
3% on Deathwing and only 2 people standing? We can do this.
We can do this. And it just seeing... the second last attempt that we made before we actually downed Deathwing, we lost one of our better DPS players very early in the fight, I think on the first platform. And we managed to get all the way down to the fourth platform and most of that part
the
done.
The hardest part of that done.
The hardest part with 9 players and still managed to pull it off and got him down to 3% shorthanded for most of the fight. And that, to me, is what good raiders are capable of doing. We aren't looking for that perfect go every time. We'll take what we get and we'll make the best of it. And I think that, to sort of tie it back into our topic, the reason that we're able to that we can pull these things off on short notice, first of all, I think, is a shout-out to the players because they're excellent raiders. But also, they are prepared to raid. They're focused. They are ready to go. They have what they need. They're not like we had in one other guild that I won't name, that one of our other players was tabbed out on Facebook while we were in the middle of a raid, in the middle of a fight. You know, that's not prepared. That's not coming to a raid prepared. So the things, and it's general things, you know, it's like when you're showing up for your raid, it's 20 minutes before the first pull. Everybody should be there early. And this is not just simple courtesy for the other players. This gives your raid lead a time, the time that may be necessary just in case someone can't show up. If you know that your second healer isn't going to be able to make it, the raid lead knows the second healer isn't going to make it, but he doesn't know who else is coming. It's very difficult to decide, are we going to, you know, maybe pull in another guildie to cover that person? Are we going to pug somebody at random? Or are we going to be short 4 people altogether and we're just going to wind up calling it? If everybody gets into the habit of logging in early, then raid leads and guild officers have the opportunity to make sure that everything can still come together and we can still get off. And if the raid has to go 5 or 10 minutes late because you've had to replace someone, that's fine. But when your raid time is 9:30 and you got, you know, characters, players logging in at 9:28, this is not good, right? This is not good at all. So that's one of the big things, is come on time. And on time means be at the instance, pulling trash at raid start time.
If you're late, it also makes the rest of your raid team wait for you. So, I mean, obviously real life is going to happen, and sometimes you can't log in until a few minutes early. And that's fine. However, you want to be considerate of the rest of your raid team. They're setting aside time for raiding, and they expect you to do the same. And there's no reason, if you've committed to that time, there's no reason to not show that courtesy.
And in extension to that, if something comes up, which it does, life happens. If something comes up and you're going to be late or you're going to be unable to raid, I mean, I don't think maybe half of our guild is either on Facebook or on Real ID, and you don't have to tell everybody, but just tell somebody. Just tell somebody in the guild, hey, guys, I know we're supposed to raid tonight, and I was pretty excited to go, but I'm not going to be able to make it. Something's come up. Nobody needs to know any more detail than that. I'm sure that it'll all come out in the next couple of days anyways. But it, like I said, the more opportunity you give your guild, your raid team, to fill the hole if that's what's needed, or to make a decision that they're going to do something else, then it just is a level of respect and courtesy that is the hallmark of a good raider.
Even easier, it's instant to mail something off to the raid lead. Drop it in the mailbox, he'll get it as soon as he logs in. So
if you're in game, and you know while you're in game that that's what's going to happen. But
yep.
Anyways, we won't dwell on that particular thing. Other things about being prepared are things like bring the correct food, bring the correct pots. I realize that in a lot of raiding guilds, they have cauldrons and they have feasts and things like that, and that's fine. And, you know, as a guild, you should pool your resources to make sure that the guild providing these things has that. We have a couple of the players in our guild who are generous with their time, and they go out and grind a lot of the mats required to make these cauldrons and to make these feasts, and that's exceptional, and I think that that's part of the guild preparation. The guild should make that easier. But as a player, when I come to a raid, I make sure I have my own buff food, and I make sure I have my own flasks and elixirs, for the simple reason that maybe this time the person that's missing is the one who's bringing the flasks or the cauldrons, and we don't want to have to delay an extra 15 or 20 minutes at the start of an already potentially delayed raid because we didn't bring any buff foods for ourselves.
Exactly. Another thing you want to do is to make sure that you're enchanted and geared correctly. So your reforging is done, your enchants are done. Make sure that you're not showing up at a raid in full PvP gear. Just
later in this episode, we're going to give you some tools and some websites and some things that you can use to help make sure that you're getting the reforges and the gems and enchants that you need. We're not going to dwell on the specifics. It's different class to class, and it's different from role to role. But it doesn't take a lot of time and a lot of energy to look up what you need to do, what you need to be. We all have an idea as a raider what we need to be doing more of or what we need to do less of. And that's, you sort of have to take that upon yourself and say, all right, I'm coming to the raid. I'm supposed to bring the maximum DPS. You have to bring your A game every time. And part of bringing your A game every time is making sure that, you know, if you're a leather worker, that you have your leather working buff on your cuffs and your legs. And if you're an enchanter, that you have the correct enchants on your gear. And nobody is saying that you have to spend all kinds of gold pieces to get the best enchant, and that's all you're going to get, and you're not raiding without the best enchant. But let me tell you. Go ahead.
No, we don't need epic gems in every piece of gear. Nothing like that. Just have something, because it's better than nothing. If you're not pulling your weight, how can you expect anybody else to? And if everybody goes into a raid going half-assed, that's what you're going to get for boss fights. You're going to be wiping
raiding
a lot.
And that's called Wipe Fest.
Yes.
And that's been the demise of many guilds, is people just showing up kind of half-assed about it. So Other things that you can do are speak up. If you don't know the strategy, if you don't know the fight, if you don't know what the trick mechanic is in a given encounter, let somebody know. It's perfectly acceptable to be new. It's perfectly acceptable to be, you know, this is my first time doing Ultraxian. This is my first time doing Morchok on Heroic. This is my first. There's nothing wrong with that. And a good raid group and good raid guild will support you. A lot of guilds, a lot of good raiding guilds, particularly progression raiding guilds, they'll ask, hey, you've never raided with us before, with this particular group. Have you done these fights? Do you know what you're supposed to do in the role that you have taken on with this group? And if you can look into it a little bit, even some people, I know that I myself can get a feel for the way a fight will flow by watching the videos on YouTube. But I know that some people,
like myself,
have a harder time grasping some of the mechanics of the fight from somebody else's video.
I really have to die to learn the fight sometimes.
And there's nothing wrong with that either. That's what progression, excuse me, that's what progression rating is all about. Another thing is practice raid awareness. Be aware of what is going on around you.
Don't stand in the fire.
Don't stand in the fire.
Don't stand in the fire.
Don't stand in the fire. Oh, you stood in the fire. And it doesn't matter what color the fire is, whether it's blue or green or red, whether it's frosty, dancing, sparkly runes on the ground or purple, floaty, gassy stuff. Don't stand in it. If you don't know what it is, don't stand in it. If and this happened when actually Wrath first dropped. They had changed some of the descriptions, some of the in-game what do they call that?
Graphics
for some of the patterns. And as a tank, I was tanking. I was pulling bosses out of the heal circles on the ground because I didn't know what they were. And the healer finally called me up short and said, what are you doing? That's the healing circle. Stand there and take that. And I was like, I just don't want to stand in the fire, even the gold sparkly fire. So so it's a, you know, and it's a small thing that you can do. And if you have an hour, I think if you have an hour, you can read up on some of these forums. And again, we'll get to the specifics later in the episode, but read up on some of the forums on some of the things that you can do with your class. Nobody expects you to be an expert at your class. Not everybody can be Himotep. But at the end of the day, the best effort is what everybody's looking for. And if you're approaching this with an open mind and with an attitude that says, I will do the best that I can, but I'm going to listen to some of these other raiders, particularly if you happen to be the new raider in a guild, listen to your other raiders, listen to their suggestions. If they start beaking off at you, you don't have to listen to that. I'm not saying that you have to take that, because I don't. But you can tell, usually very quickly in a group, which of the players knows what they're talking about and which ones are just repeating the same audio pablum that they've picked up from somebody else.
Raid awareness also goes beyond just not standing in the fire. You don't want to develop tunnel vision while you're banging on the boss. For example, if you're a druid and somebody dies, you have a battle res. It would be a good time to notice that they die and perhaps ask the raid lead, is this a good time for a battle res?
Yeah.
If crowds, mobs get out of control, if you have a CC ability, perhaps it's time to CC if that's
even if it's not, yeah, even if it's not your mob. We all use the raid marks, we've all seen the raid marks, and even if it's not your mob that needs to be CC'd, if the CC breaks and you have a crowd control, control it.
Exactly.
Right? Be a bigger part of the team than just the DPS number that you're trying to post.
Because believe me, that's what a raid lead is going to be looking for.
Absolutely.
DPS is not always what the most important thing is in this game.
That's right. Absolutely. So some of the other things about raid preparation are specific to the class and specific to the encounter and in some cases to the role. So what might be appropriate for a paladin tank is not necessarily going to be the same thing for a DK tank. It might not even be the same for a paladin in ret. So you have to understand what your role is and what might be expected of you in the raid. And trying to prepare for that is what raid preparedness is really all about.
a really great place to learn if you're just starting out with rating, and it's going to probably sound a little bit funny to say it this way, but Looking for Raid is actually a really great tool to learn.
Just make sure you mute everybody first.
Exactly. Don't read any of the stuff that's happening there. Follow along. See, you get a basic idea of what the fight mechanics are, at least for Dragon Soul, and this, I suppose, is only relevant for Dragon Soul, but you'll see the basic fights, and it's not the same in 10 man or even in 25, but you'll get an idea of what needs to be done, and you'll kind of see where the fire is dropping and not to be standing in, and what the trash is going to be like, etc.
The other thing is, don't be afraid to grab some friends that you know and put a group together and go and raid something yourself, whether you're in a raiding guild, a formal group, or just plugging with some friends. There's nothing wrong with having a level 60 or 61 toon and saying, hey, I know you guys all have 61s and 62s. Let's go and just for, you know, just for fun, let's go raid Molten Core once again because we can. And grab people from multiple guilds and everything else. There seems to be a tendency nowadays in almost every guild to do only the things that your guild members are in. And unless you're doing something specifically for the guild or sponsored by the guild, I suppose, if the guild's involved, then you can, you know, just go out there and pug it, you know. Some guilds have limits and restrictions on what you can or can't pug and what you can or can't raid. And that's for a guild master and a guild officers to decide and for the guild members to follow along with if they choose to. But ultimately, your raid experience is your responsibility. And if you want to get into an end game raid guild, being prepared means understanding how raids work. And like Shakti said, Raid Finder is a great tool to get used to being in a raid, being in a group of people that everything's happening all at once. There's multiple things that have to go. You have to watch for your phase changes, and you have to watch for your transitions, and you have to watch for, you know, the debuffs that's coming, and you have to watch your countdown timers, and there's all kinds of things to watch. And if you've never done a raid at any level, it can be very overwhelming and very intimidating. Raid Finder, while the mechanics of Raid Finder is very forgiving, some of the players are not. So if you venture forth and try to get some experience with Raid Finder, please don't take what some of those people have to say to heart. They are, for the most part, idiots.
And trolls.
Well, there's a lot of that, too. And the trolls are idiots. I have a beef with that. I enjoy Raid Finder. I like what it brings to the table. And I have some tunes that are not currently available for raiding with guilds. And it's an opportunity for me to take, you know, the tune that might never see the inside of a raid under any other circumstance, and I can raid with that tune. So just because the tune that you happen to be standing beside inspecting has less than top-of-the-line gear does not mean that the player controlling that tune does not have top-of-the-line experience. And that's what you need to learn when you're doing Raid Finder.
Yes. So, that being said, let's move on to some useful tools and websites and add-ons that you may be interested in to refer back to what we've just talked about. The first one...
Why don't we start with, what are the three main add-ons
okay,
that you think are most important for raiding?
Number one, Deadly Boss Mods. Absolutely a must-have. If you get no other add-ons, this one is a must. I know that there are players out there who are slightly more hardcore that, you know, want to just learn it themselves, and that's fine. However, Deadly Boss Mods. Deadly Boss Mods, Deadly Boss Mods. They will tell you when you're standing in the fire. They will tell you when to click the button if you know how to read it. And it's totally customizable. You can set the notifications for it to scream at you for whatever you want it to scream at you for. It'll put markings on whatever needs to be marked. It'll make raid warnings for the entire raid if you want. The most notable fight that the number one fight that I think that everybody should have Deadly Boss Mods for is Altraxian. with that fight, there is a button that you need to press at the exact right time. And it's very difficult to time without Deadly Boss Mods counting it down for you, because there's just so much happening. I know when I run it on my Shaman, I have my totems that I'm constantly refreshing, pressing all my trinkets and whatnot, and trying to get my rotation down. Not to mention I'm calling it out in vent as to who has to press the button. So to have an additional add-on in there telling me that, hey, now it's my turn, and you need to count it down to number two and then press the button, it's extremely helpful.
Everybody that's out there should know that in our raid group, Shakti is the Deadly Boss Mod countdown timer. She's the one who tells us. So really, all you need to get is install Shakti in your raid group.
Right.
And then you don't need DBM. So, yeah. I agree. I think that the number one most important add-on is Deadly Boss Mods. I want to make a comment on the customizability. It doesn't, it doesn't need to be customized. As you get more experience at raiding, and as you get more experience as a raider, you can take advantage of that customization, because it'll start to make a little sense to you. If you've never used an add-on, you can download it, have it there, let it run. When it starts to tell you what to do, that's when you pay attention. And if you have problems, I'm sure that if you check with 80% of your guild, they are running it and are familiar with it, and they can help you get it started out.
Exactly. The default is very, it's pretty much set up the way that you need it set up to begin with. So it's very easy to use, and it's wonderful, and I can't say enough good things about it.
and it's, I believe that it should be necessary for a raid. I know that in any of the guilds that I've been an officer in, or a GM or a raid lead, it's been a required add-on for the raid, for as long as there have been add-ons.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to Burning Crusade, and even a little bit before that, but those weren't legal add-ons. Blizzard didn't like it then. Anyways, moving right along. Another add-on that you think is absolutely essential for raiding.
The rest aren't absolutely essential for me.
Oh, I have a couple that I think are absolutely essential.
Okay.
I'm not saying specific. I know the ones you're talking about, and I have a plus-minus agreement on that. I know a lot of people think Omen, threat meter of some sort, is an excellent thing. It's less of an issue nowadays than it used to be, and maybe with Mists coming out, there'll be a fight mechanic where the second person on the threat meter or the third person on the threat meter will have something happen to them, like Karazhan or I think it was Meg Theridan's lair. I don't remember. Anyways, there have been other situations where it was not good. If you weren't a tank, you did not want to be second on the list. Nowadays, with the way that threat has been fixed, adjusted.
Can you tell your tank?
That is much less of an issue now. So I pretty much guarantee my tank is at the top of the list. And even other tanks have to fight with me to get that top position. So I would say that the use for things like Omen, the KTM threat meter, and those sorts of add-ons, I think that a lot of players nowadays could very successfully raid endgame without using the add-on and not really miss out on it. It's really for people who are tanking. People who are healing should have a threat meter, because you need to know whether your heals are creeping up that threat or not. Not so much on the main mob that's being attacked, but on the other mobs that are in the area, because your threat is a sphere that goes around you. And we can sometimes lose sight of that, and new adds that introduce to the fight or unexpected change in dynamic, and suddenly the healer is dead because he got two-shotted. And that's it's situational, I understand, but still can be quite useful. I was going to suggest that the number two most useful add-on, in my opinion, Autobar.
Autobar?
Yes, Autobar. cleans up your UI. I'm a big, big proponent of a clean and open UI. You can't have rate awareness if you can't see what's going on. And if you have too many things on the middle of your screen, you're not going to be able to see what's going on. Autobar simplifies. And we're talking about people who can write macros don't need to worry about Autobar. If you can write a macro, you don't need Autobar. If you cannot write a macro, then Autobar is something you should really give some thought to, because it will automatically put all the things that you would require, potions, flasks, elixirs, poisons. I know a certain rogue who could probably get some help with remembering poisons, bandages and food and everything. It's all in one nice little convenient location. You can put it off to the right or the left or the top or the bottom of your screen, wherever it needs to be. And it has a pop-out menu, and that will pop-out menu that retracts. So it's always ready. So if you are a person who does not like to have a large area of your screen taken up by a whole bunch of buttons for that one thing you might need, Autobar, I think, is a great tool for that. And it can, anybody.
I disagree with that. I think any way that you're going to set up your UI so that it works for you is fine. I mean, you could do the same thing with the Blizzard bars, have the right or left bar or whatever, however you want to set it up. Bartender will do this, a similar thing. There's all kinds of UI mods out there that you could adjust it so that it works for you. And really, it comes down to whatever you're comfortable with, I think. You've been running Autobar for some time, which is why you're recommending it and why you're comfortable with it.
I recommend it because, as you'll recall, I recommended it long before it was being used by everybody else. It's not I recommend it because of the utility that it brings. Yes, you can put 30 other little bars up and have them all mapped with one button, and then you can macro and keybind to all the buttons that are in your little bartender interface. Believe me, I know. I use Bartender as well. But for simple ease, you install the add-on. You have one real choice to make. Do I put it on the sides or do I put it on the top or the bottom? Once you've established where you want it to go, it takes probably 30 or 40 buttons off of your additional standard bar. So you
That's
don't
true.
Need to have a button for your mount. You don't need to have a button for your fishing rod. You don't need to have a button for your bandages or your pots or your...
So you're recommending it just as a cleanup.
As a utility, as a tool that is useful because of what it brings to your UI. It's great for all aspects of gaming, but as a rating tool especially, it's a very useful tool. Yes, you're absolutely correct. You could use half a dozen other utilities to accomplish the same end, but you have to admit that even with Bartender, it's not going to be as compact, it's not going to be as non-obstructive as Autobar is.
Okay. Moving on to another add-on that I would recommend is Recount. Now, I know we just said that DPS is not always the most important thing in a raid, and it's not. However,
most important? No.
However, there are fights where it is. If you're only pulling 9K DPS, you're not going to down Deathwing. It's just not going to happen.
No.
Unless everybody else in your raid is pulling 40. Perhaps, maybe, you can get carried all the way through, but it's not likely. You want to know where your numbers are, really, is what it should be used for. Know where your numbers are. You can see what the rest of your raid is running at and what you should be aiming for. You all want to be around the same area. I mean, if everybody's pulling between 15 and 20K, then fantastic. You shouldn't have a whole lot of issues with the raid unless you guys are all standing in the fire. It goes back to pulling your weight and bringing your A game. If you can see where you're lacking, if you're the lowest on the DPS, pulling only 9K, or if you're obviously more than well-geared and pulling 50 where everyone else is pulling 20, well, maybe you want to look for a heroic running guild or something. I don't know. But it gives you that baseline to measure yourself against and to get the numbers right.
And another comment on that is, like many of these other add-ons, there is a whole wealth of customizability, and there's a whole wealth of additional information that can be taken from this add-on simply beyond simply how much DPS you're doing on any fight or how much damage you've done overall. Two important, useful numbers, and like you said, if you're not pulling your weight in a raid, then the raid is doomed to fail. That's a, you know, but it's also, you can also use it to see how many times a person has been rezzed during a given run. You can see how much total output is being generated by your entire raid. You can use it to track how much healing is being done, how much overhealing is being done, what kind of crowd control breaks are being used, how many times have you used a battle res or some similar device.
You can actually tell a person's almost, you could see what their rotate, not exactly their rotation, but you can see what spells people are casting and what abilities they're using.
Spell priority. Yep, you can see their spell priority. And if you're,
which I guarantee you, if there's issues with the raid, your raid lead is checking that out. So you don't want to be on your game and know what's going on.
You want to be able to explain to your raid lead if he asks you, why are you casting that spell at that in this raid? Why are you using that spell?
As a fire mage, why are you casting Frost Firebolt?
Yeah, or Frostbolt, or, you know, Blizzard, or
whatever else.
We've just finished fighting 4 single-target bosses, and your top DPS is showing that you used Flame Strike. Please explain this. Yes, so it's quite useful for that kind of thing. And again, I know that there are people out there listening right now who are going to say, oh, well, I use this or I use that. And whatever you use, if you're comfortable with it and it's providing you that information, then by all means, please carry on using it. I'm not trying to establish a uniformity here. I just think that the utility, the tool that brings that utility and the function of that tool is what's important. So we have a couple of guildies that we know that use RAR,
yep.
Which is complicated. But it's not for somebody who's trying to figure out if 8K DPS is enough to take down Shanix. It's for the person who's already pulling 25K and wants to figure out if they make a few changes and a few tweaks, can they get 26K? It's for the hardcore, I use that term loosely. I don't. It's for the very serious person.
Semi hardcore.
Never mind. The
semi hard. We can say that.
We can say semi hard.
I think so.
Chubby.
And still keep it within a family show. I think maybe.
Okay. All right. Then. Okay. We'll try that. At any rate, moving along here, I think that RAR is a great tool for really trying to squeeze out those extra 100 or 150 or 200 DPS, or if you think you're dropping something in your rotation, you can use that tool to find that information out. But if you're just at the start of your raiding progression, if you're just getting going on it, I would say you probably are better off using a tool like Recount, because it is simpler and the information is pretty much right there. You might have to dig through a couple of menus to get it, but the information is right there for you. And I would say, once you get Recount working, head on over to a target dummy in one of the main cities and bash out on a target dummy and see those numbers climb and see those numbers change. Change your rotation up and watch how, if you do it this way or if you do it that way, how does it change your total numbers? Understand, of course, that if you're pulling, you know, 8K DPS, that's 8,000 for some of you who don't know what 8K means. If you're pulling 8,000 DPS on your raid target dummy in Orgrimmar, and then you step into a raid and you're only pulling 5, well, this is something you need to try and ask somebody. Why is this? Usually it's the other way around. You're pulling 8 on the target dummy and you're pulling 15 or 20 in the raid. So
because you'll have the extra buffs.
You have those extra buffs, and there's a dynamic in interaction with other players. So, and they're guides. This is where we make the statement, DPS is not the most important thing. And despite what a lot of people will say to the contrary, being at the top of the DPS chart is not really as impressive as it sounds like it should be. It's very easy to get to the top of the chart. What is important is, are you still alive and the boss is dead? If the boss is dead and you are still alive, then that is a successful fight. And if you are first or second or third or fifth on the DPS chart, that's really what's most important.
And if you're doing the best that you can with the tools that you have, then more, you know, it's fine.
And giving yourself room for improvement.
Exactly.
Because we're all hoping to improve. We've raided with, Shakti and I have raided with mages who his sole purpose seemed to be to peek out the top of that DPS chart and die 25 seconds into the fight.
So and that doesn't know any good.
And the DPS, he would die and stay at the top of the DPS chart. But at the end of the raid, at the end of the fight, he hasn't done anything. He just got a big number and died. And that's not impressive. I'm certainly not impressed. And I can tell you, as a mage, what impresses me is, you know, the little things, the other things, the crowd control and the watching your threat, managing your threat, keeping yourself alive, and still maximizing your damage output. That is what a good raider does. But that's a topic for another day when we discuss mages and all their awesome, fiery, frosty goodness.
Fire. Okay. So another add-on that is helpful, the one that I really like is decursive. You could do the same thing on Healbot and whatnot, but if you're not a healer or a tank, as we'll cover later on, Healbot really isn't necessary. Decursive is helpful for those DPS who have an ability A to decurse or cleanse, and also to crowd control. I don't know if you folks remember back in ICC, there was actually a boss that would randomly choose someone in the party and mind control them, and they would, of course, start attacking the rest of the raid. Well, decursive is wonderful. You just press a little button, and poof, they're sheep, and they are not doing any damage to anyone else. Also, if you have decursive and you have the ability to cleanse, decurse, etc., it'll pop up when someone is cursed. Again, you just click the button, they get cleared off, and it helps out the healers, believe it or not. It just takes one less thing off of the healers to worry about.
And which goes back to the whole idea of raid awareness and raid preparedness.
So that one's pretty easy to use. Do you want to talk about Healbot?
I am a big fan of Healbot. I know, again, we've... And just recently, actually, had a conversation with people who talked about being a purist and not using an add-on to help them with their heals. And if you are able to heal a 10-man raid without having an add-on, then I salute you. I can, I suppose, do that, but I really don't like doing it. I find it so much easier and it's so much more enjoyable for me to be in the raid with an add-on that helps me. It's not, I don't do everything through Healbot. Healbot is another one of the tools that I use to make my job easier when I'm healing. Raid healing or five-man healing or just out by myself tooling around. I also use Healbot on my tanks because I have some tanking abilities that I can use as a paladin tank. I have, I think it's called Righteous Defense, which is if another member of the raid or party is attacked, I can Righteous Defense them. Well, in the middle of a raid, you've got 10 mobs around, you've got 9 other players in the raid. It's hard to know exactly who has that threat. So I have Healbot set up, left click, I now have threat. it's a great, there's other ones that are out there. You can use Grid and Click, which is a combination of two add-ons that basically do the same thing. And I will not here and now get into a conversation of which one is better because they do the same thing, but one is geared for a different type of environment than the other. So they do the same thing, but they do it from a different standpoint. So there's really no way to make a fair comparison, and so I'm not going to try. I think that a good heal assist, Healbot, is a good one to start with, and once you get familiar with the way Healbot works, if it seems to be lacking for you, then you talk to some of your guildies, talk to some people that you trust and see what they use and take it from there.
Do you have any other add-ons you wanted to discuss?
That's it for me. I think that since we're talking about raiding, no, this is just useful tools, websites, and add-ons. So add-ons, the only other ones that I would recommend would be something I'm a big fan of Bartender. It's a all-in-one bag utility add-on. And what it basically allows you to do is you open up your bags, and instead of having to look through each bag for something that you want to find, it opens up one little windowed screen where everything that you have is stored. And you can customize the sorting of that bag either across your whole account or character by character. And it can take 15 or 20 minutes to set it up correctly, and if you don't have someone to help you with that, it can be a little frustrating at the start. But if you dig into the help files and you go on to a couple of forums and you find someone to give you a pretty good step-by-step tutorial, I think that once you start to use it, you will be forever corrupted, Chuck D, and you will come back away from it saying, how did I ever get along without it?
I wasn't corrupted. That sounds Shock so dirty.
Yeah. Shock D objected to using Bartender forever.
It just took
like 3 or 4 years. She would refuse to use it. And now that she's used it and she's decided that she wanted to learn it, now that she's learned it and used it, now she's a big fan of it as well.
I just thought it would have a lot steeper learning curve than it actually did. It seemed like it would take a lot longer and it was a lot more work to set up than I thought. Than it actually did, so I agree. It is a useful add-on, but that being said, any UI cleanup add-on is a good idea.
And so. I agree. If you have any of the other ones, and I there's all kinds of them out there, and I've tried all kinds of them, and I would say that the correction. I'm talking about Arc Inventory, not Bartender. Arc Inventory is the one that cleans up your bags. Bartender is the one that puts bars that you can customize your buttons on. And, okay, so let me state my original statement. Bartender, for the reasons stated already, is the one that I was wanting to talk about because it gives you the option to customize where your button layout is.
We'll talk Arc Inventory when we discuss alts and do that podcast.
Okay. Well, Arc Inventory is a great add-on as well, but that's an all-in-one bag management inventory add-on. It has nothing to do with fighting things and raiding and what have you. It's handy to be able to sort your stuff out, and that's the example that I gave. I was thinking Arc Inventory, not Bartender 4. But yes, Bartender 4 was the one that Shakti resisted for the longest time, and now she's come over to the dark side.
Yes. I'm sure there's cookies somewhere. They keep telling me.
It's on the second button from the right. Anyways.
Let's move on to websites that might be useful. First of all, for all of these add-ons, and I think right down to the very one that we've discussed, they're all available on Curse. Is that correct?
Yep. I believe so. Curse.com is an excellent source for add-ons, and if you are familiar with add-ons and their properties, then you can find some pretty bleeding-edge add-ons through the Curse profiler. If you are reluctant to use a Curse profiler, you can do it the old-fashioned way, and they support both from Curse. However, a little hint to the wise, get the downloader. It's way easier to do it with that.
It is, because what it does is when an add-on that you're using has an update, it'll actually tell you, and you can have it downloaded as soon as it's updated, which is extremely handy, especially
for
a person.
Free.
Yes, it's handy for a person like me who constantly forgets to check add-ons. So
that would be my first pick for a useful website that provides utility, both as a raider and across the board as a player, and that's Curse.com. And if I remember correctly, they also support add-ons for other games.
Yes, I think they do Swartor. I think they do Rift. I'm not sure.
I know they do Rift. I know they do Swartor. Mm-hmm. But I think on the website they have other games that they support as well.
Mm-hmm.
I won't swear to that because swearing is bad, but I do think that's a true statement.
All right. Another website that is handy, and I'm going to give a little bit of a caveat with this one because it's a little bit difficult to work with, Elitist Jerks. It's a forum class threads in there, and you may have to dig a bit for the information. The reason why I actually list these guys is because they actually are the go-to guys for theory crafting. There is a huge community, so you really do have to dig to get the information that you want to find. That being said, a lot of the information that they give is also duplicated on other websites, and then we'll give a couple of those as well. But Elitist Jerks, if you want, I mean, they've are all there on the PTRs and on the betas, and they're testing it out constantly, and the forums are constantly being updated. And you can bet the minute somebody says something that's incorrect, there is 8 other people already correcting him the minute he posts. So it's definitely a good go-to spot if you're really getting into the theory crafting. And they'll actually help you out if you can find it. I know there's some that are easier to find than others. But if you could find it, they will actually have. This is a recommended rotation. This is your recommended spec. This is recommended glyphs, enchants, gems, etc.
And I just want to interject there. It's not simply that they say this is the recommended. If you look, they'll explain why.
Exactly.
They won't come right out and say that you should not do this or you should not do that. They will say, we strongly recommend that you do it this way, because if you do it that way, you're going to lose DPS, or you're going to lose healing throughput, or you're going to lose threat, or whatever happens to be the case.
Exactly. I mean, just as an example for myself, within the last 3 months or so, I was not pulling the kind of numbers that I wanted to on Shakti. And so I went to Elitist Jerks and read their mage forum and actually explained right in plain language what haste was and what numbers I needed to shoot for and why. And that was such a huge thing, because I had checked other websites that said, oh, you're a fire mage, you need to stack haste, which was totally contrary to what I was thinking, but that's what the website said. So going to Elitist Jerks, it explained why I had to stack haste to a certain point, and then move on from that. That was the point that other websites had missed. But anyway, it's an excellent resource, and definitely a good idea to check out.
Yeah.
If and you don't want to go digging through the website, we have found that icyveins.com, icy-veins.com, is very close information-wise, to the point where I think they've actually copied and pasted a few things in there. So, but it's very easy to read, and it basically has most of the things that Elitist Jerks has there. So that's a good place to start. If you're not finding the answers that you're looking for, you can go back to Elitist Jerks and see what they say on the certain topics, but it's a good website to check out. Did you have anything to add on that one?
No. I have a tendency to try and – I don't say try and avoid, but I have a tendency to avoid the forum-based support sites, just because, as you know, I have had absolutely no luck finding the information that I was looking for after hearing people rave and rave and rave about some websites.
It can be hard, yes.
I was not able to find one piece of information that sorted out my issue. So it's more just a question of I'm picky and I'm kind of set in my ways. I already know how to play my class, and if I'm not getting the most out of my class, I know the kinds of things that I need to change around a little bit in order to do that. When I will frequently go to a website like that is right after a major patch or after a major expansion, because the game mechanics will have changed, and sometimes I haven't fully grasped the mathematics behind the change. And, I said a bad word, mathematics. I'm a math guy. I like the numbers, and the numbers don't lie. So that's my little caveat on pretty much on all these websites.
But that being said, it's all the recommended stuff, right? So they've done the test. They know what brings the best DPS numbers and so forth. But it all depends on your gameplay. If you want to be a Frost Mage in a raiding guild, then be a freaking Frost Mage in the raiding guild.
Just make sure you read up on how to be an effective top DPS.
Exactly. But I can tell you right now, on Elitist Jerks, that's not going to be the sticky post right there.
No, you're going to have to dig for that one. Exactly. Because they're going to take a different stance. They are not as interested, and a lot of websites right now are not as interested in catering to game style as they are to end result. The end result is, if you want to bring the maximum DPS that you can with the same gear level, then you want to go with whatever build that they recommend. And we, the players who have experience, may or may not agree with what they have to say. And I can say that when I was being told that Frost Mages were not effective raiding, was not an effective raiding build, I loved showing up in the raids with the Fire Mages and the Arcane Mages. And not only was I keeping up with them, but on many, many fights, I was beating both of them.
So it really depends on your own play style and what you know. And if you know your class, then you're fine. But that's just a good resource to check out.
Absolutely. So in vein to that, another resource that is very useful for what it is for is one that has been touted a lot recently, and that's Noxic.com. And my recommendation for Noxic comes from if you have just reached level 85 or if you're just approaching level 85 and you want to start to wrap your mind around your stat priorities, around your rotation priorities, around your glyphing and your foraging and all those kinds of ideas before you actually do anything, that's a great website to get an idea for what it should be done. It's very compartmentalized. It's in easy to swallow bits, and it makes it much easier when you're just reaching 85 to go to this website, get all this information, percolate it through your own personality, and then you can move on to one of these more complicated websites or one of these more involved websites. Two caveats on Noxic. One, it, in my opinion, is not always 100% correct, and that's going to be true of every website. So when you're doing this, you have to consider other sources as well. Don't take it as a be-all, end-all. And two, it's really not well-suited if you are already well-geared. If you're already rating, then you probably should skip past Noxic and go to one of the other websites, the next one, which I think Shakti is going to recommend. Comments?
Nope, I wholeheartedly agree. I like Noxic. It's great for those tunes that I don't really know how to play, so I refer to it for that. But once you're exactly right. Once you've been rating, it misses things. So moving on. Another one that I know that Himatev also really likes is AskMrRobot.com.
Robot!
Yeah, that one is a website where you can bring up your character and it will tell you what enchants, reforges, and gems are recommended for you so that you have the optimized gear set available. You do have to make sure that you have your settings correct on it because you log in and it'll default to heroic tier 13 and it'll put all heroic gems in and the most expensive enchants and assume that you're made of money. That's not always the case.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't want to put the $5,000 enchant on the level 346 gear you just picked up while you're transitioning to raid gear.
Exactly.
It's like all these other websites. It's the same caveat. It's the same statement. You have to put your own stamp on what it does. It will do what you let it do. If you let it tell you exactly how to do it, then you're going to do it its way. The caveat that I have learned with Ask Mr. Robot was the mistake that I made for about the first 3 weeks was I didn't have it set to the right settings. So it's very important that with that one you make sure you're using the right settings. And like Shakti said, if you can't afford epic gems in your low-level gear, then make sure you go in and set that as to ignore high-level enchants, ignore PvP enchants, which are basically any of the foot enchants that have run speed on them are PvP enchants, generally speaking. Not to say that it's a bad thing, but we'll get into that another time. The one thing about Ask Mr. Robot that people tend to not realize is that it will not tell you that you need to replace gear. It takes your character from the armory as is and calculates what you need to do to get your optimum statistics, your optimum numbers with what you already have. And if you want to see the changes that the gear you add will make, it has that capability. However, it's limited, so it's not the kind of thing that you want to get dependent on. When you've upgraded a couple of pieces, then that's when you would start maybe log out, go to your website, and then have it call up your tune from the armory and look what has to be done.
The other thing you want to look at when you're adjusting your settings is there are specs out there, and it'll grab the spec from the armory that your tune is logged out on. There are specs out there, and I'm thinking Hunter primarily that's the first one that's coming to mind. I think Marksman Hunter has two different types of rotations that it can actually use, and you can actually choose which rotation you prefer, and it will adjust your settings for that. The reason why I personally love this website is because it does everything all on one site, where it doesn't assume that you have the right enchants and gems and all that. It adjusts them all for you, so that...
And it's important, this is important, it allows you to tell it that you're not going to replace a particular gem or a particular enchant. So if that's as good as you're going to get in that spot, and you know that's as good as you're going to get in that spot, perfect example being you haven't hit Exalted with Therizane yet. You don't have access to the epic shoulder enchant. However, on every tune, every time, that's what it's always going to say. You have the option to tell Ask Mr. Robot, hey, lock this one into place. That's what I'm going to use. And it's that level of customizability that makes it so useful. And then it's that all-in-one presentation. It tells you the gems to put in, the enchants to get, and what you should reforge to get the best overall numbers. And sometimes when you first look at it, it's going to look a little crazy. It's going to tell you to take your crit out of one piece and reforge that into haste, and then reforge haste out of the other piece and put it into crit. And your first reaction might be, wait, why would I do that? Why would I just leave them both? The answer is because the bigger numbers can be achieved by reforging some of these smaller numbers out. And that's
going for your optimized number. The biggest change that you'll actually see that on is particularly for those classes that require a hit cap. Casters, I'm looking at you. It'll get you to 17% hit, however it has to do that.
If your gear supports it.
Exactly. So it'll reforge everything into hit, or it'll reforge your shoulders into hit, and then take off hit off of your weapon if that means it'll hit that 17% mark, or as close to 17% as it can.
It will also reduce you below your 17% in favor of a higher, for example, crit number, if mathematically that higher crit would result in a higher DPS output. You're using the website. You don't need to understand the math. You can just take my word for it. The math is good. The math is good.
Often,
if your settings are correct,
yes,
the math is good.
Yes. So that's a website that we definitely recommend.
One other website that I would like to recommend as a, let's say, as another resource is WoW Heroes. And I like going to WoW Heroes. I like checking out WoW Heroes because I get to compare my tune with any other tune on any other server that I've ever seen. So if I happen to be in a looking for raid environment and I am standing beside another mage who is doing 40% more damage than I'm doing in the raid, I don't really have the time to really compare item for item how he stacks up against me. However, with WoW Heroes, after the raid, I have the leisure to call the two of us up, and I can see exactly where the changes are, where the differences are. And you can also see some interesting things about yourself when you look at your own character. You can see where you're raiding at, where you should be raiding, where you stack up on your server in terms of your overall number. Now, it's back to giving numbers to... We have to have a number to do fair comparisons, and it assigns a numerical value to each gear item and each enchant and each gem. And if you have the right gear and the right enchants and the right gem, you have a bigger score. It does not say that people with a better score are better players. It just means they have the right gear. And I think that it's important to mention that.
That's wow-heroes.com, correct?
Yeah. We're going to provide a link on our blog for all of these websites that we've talked about here today. So you'll have to check out our blog in order to get that. But
it'll all be in the show notes. So, all right. So that finishes up for episode 2 for Rolling for Loot. If you have any comments or questions, you can visit us on the blog at rollingforloot.blogspot.com, where you'll find all these show notes and handy web links. You can find us on Facebook as Rolling for Loot or on Twitter as @RollingForLoot.
Thanks for listening. I'm Himotep.
And I'm Shakti. See you next time.
See you next time.
I can't edit this stuff out.
Sure you can.
No, I can't.
Pack it all up.
Yeah.
Eat my fish.
Outtakes. Okay.